You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right.
Ice Cube, do you think you give me some money to get my hair done?
Smoke your hair right now.
Well, you know I get it done every week, and I need my nails done too.
Look, I'm gonna tell you like this. I ain't the one to get played like a poop butt. See, I'm from the street, so I know what's up on these silly games that's played by the women. I'm only happy when I'm going up in them. But you know, I'm a menace to society, but girls in biker shorts are so fly to me, so I step to them with aggression. Listen to the kid and learn a lesson today. See, they think we narrow-minded, cause they got a cute face and big behind it. So I walk over and say, how you doing? See, I'm only down for screwing, but you know, you gotta play it off cool. Cause if they catch you slipping, you get schooled. Now get you for your money, son. Next thing you know, you're getting their hair and their nails done for them. Now let you show them off. But when it comes to sex, they got a bad cough or a headache. It's all give and no take. Run out of money and watch your heart break. They'll drop you like a bad habit. Cause a brother with money, yo, they gotta have it. Messing with me, though, they gets none. You can't juice Ice Cube, girl, cause I ain't the one.
Girl, you got
so, what up, fam? Chris and I are reflecting on Straight Outta Compton. It's been a little over a week. Has it been a week? It hasn't been a week. It'll be a week Saturday. Since we saw it for Chris's birthday. And it's so funny. All week I've been vacillating back and forth as to whether or not I should hit up the family and say, I think we should have a follow-up conversation after sitting with the film for almost a week and all the commentary that's come out about the film since its release. And misogyny has been at the forefront of the conversation in regard to this film, in regard to the some of the artists' lives, and just the degradation of Black women in rap music and in this brand of rap music in particular. West Coast gangster rap is full of bitches and hoes.
Well, we... And to an extent, with a little bit of pride, too.
Yeah.
It just, we, you know, along with Too Short and the Ye, I mean, he's the other punch.
Mm-hmm.
He's the artist that single-handedly, because to me, so many of these dudes won't be Too Short.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, it's, that's been the discussion.
Yeah.
I didn't think. You know, I wondered, were they going to bring it up? I mean, but I got to the point and I understand why they went with the violence first, because it's, you know, the FBI was on them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What you're saying is scaring people.
Yeah. It's scary enough mm-hmm. to make movement one way or another.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was no Twitter, social media and all that. Mm-mm. Like, well, hey, look, I can show you what is actually going on. Right now, you know, with the Rodney King that, mm-hmm. you know, showing that, like.
And Rodney King was just one incident that happened in that time period.
You know, the scene where they showed him kind of driving through it.
Yeah.
And.
What happened to the city?
You know, the fact that you seen Rodney King, you know, we saw it a whole lot.
Yes.
And we was just like, this is what this is what LAPD do.
Right.
And the fact like, oh, we got them on tape.
Right.
We got them on tape. Sure, they going to get them.
Yeah. That was like a big damn
beating the nigga
deal.
Like for minutes.
Yeah. And the thing
on tape, like, what did he do? What yeah. did he do?
Yeah.
Does he have like a damn, like 8 rocket launchers in the back of his trunk?
Why is he being
like,
beaten?
Why are you beating him like this? Like, y'all got all the weapons and, you know.
But you're beating this man mercilessly in the street for no right. reason for what anybody can see. There are many of you, 4 cops,
mm-hmm.
5 cops, just surrounding him.
Mm-hmm.
He's trapped.
And
it was on tape. So Of course.
You're like, this is we've seen it. You know, what is, we've always asked that. That's always been my question. It's just, what is the punishment for police officers? Like, you are a government, you know, and you're a government-backed gang. Yeah. Like, pretty much you have the government on your side. Yeah. So you can do whatever you want. You don't, once you're in, you're not allowed to, in a sense, go against the gang, or it's a problem. Like, don't be snitching.
It's some understanding that they all have. It's some understanding. It's about when it's just
being
have.
A cop. I get it, as you know.
Well, it's different being things. A cop. Being a cop, world. It's a risky job. Mm-hmm. Your entire job, which is the irony of it, is public service. Mm-hmm. All you are doing is interacting with the people because you're supposed to be there to take care of them and protect them, to serve them, to really be of service. Mm-hmm. And so the job comes with its risks, but that has nothing, like, the mentality of it now is warfare. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the riots kind of answered that question that Toria put out there a few weeks ago. What is the consequence of hurting the black body?
You have the, it's just, it's,
it was we've anger. Seen
them all of it.
It
you
was
know?
Anger.
I mean, you got what? Is it 50 years of the Watts riots? I mean, not too long ago. There was,
whenever situations are just clearly unjust, people do stand up. And I think then, LA, we were angry. There was a there was a unity amongst folk in the community, though, in a way like never before. You know, I was in the middle of the riots, and I never felt safer in my community than in that moment. Nothing was going to happen to me or anybody in my hood at all. We were tight. You know what I mean? It was just chaos outside the neighborhood. But back to what we were originally talking about.
That's why this movie was powerful. I was thinking that it's, you know, this is why, and all this is something to say, this is why they focused on the violence portion of NWA, because of the times.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, of course, because it's easier to swallow than what everybody's talking about and wondering what was not brought up in the movie.
Yeah.
Was just their impact on basically the way women are viewed.
Yeah. But here's the thing. In every facet of the entertainment industry, there are going to be a selection of people who are identified and self-identified as groupies.
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenge for me comes in the fact that the women who participated in these situations with the men of NWA, or any celebrities in that capacity, you know what I'm saying? Because they're not depicting just all lies.
It's like, you know? Them actually showed you at the end of the movie, like them real like parties. They was having them wet and wild parties,
right? And they've made this choice to do this. And in so many of the conversations we've had about sex and promiscuity and women and men's relationship to sex, one of the things we've always come back to is that women have a power in sex, and there's nothing wrong with a woman empowering herself and taking full control of her sex. These are the type of women. Those women have made that choice. You know what I mean? The women who would self-identify as groupies, the ones depicted in this film, they've made that choice. They know they're sleeping with celebrities. They know they're sleeping with superstars. They know that the situations maybe will lead to something, but there's a good chance a lot of the situations were very casual and weren't going to lead to anything. And they wanted to sleep with this star.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? People, it's chicks that's like, I love Eazy-E. I'm going to sleep with Eazy-E. And I don't even care what comes out of it. I just want to say that I slept with Eazy-E or Cube or whoever they had a thing for. And I don't know.
People
out here in LA, like I said, when we first started talking, West Coast gangster rap is full of bitches and hoes. Those of us that grew up here, at least from my perspective, you didn't wear those titles unless that was a title that you actually assumed. Everybody didn't fall up under bitch and hoe by virtue of being a woman.
No, they didn't.
By virtue of being a black woman, that did not automatically define you as a bitch and a hoe. So you could hear that song and know that it has no...
A bitch is a bitch. And he's describing it. And at the end, the chick is like, well, you said no bitch. I ain't call you no bitch. If you listen, I wasn't calling you. I wasn't calling you. You as who you are as a person. I'm not calling you a bitch. It doesn't fit all women.
Yeah.
We talked about that. I was just, there was a difference when you were like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. The thing is, though, when we have our conversations, and Leisha, I love her perspective coming from the Bay, coming from a biracial family. She often turns a different channel on for a situation for me. She puts it for me in a very different lens. And it's the idea that because women are oppressed based off of gender,
mm-hmm.
that's why a situation like that is even allowed to exist, where you can have a song and talk about a woman in those terms and it be no big deal. And I guess there are no, you know what it is? There are no correct me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm having a light bulb moment. Maybe I'm molded as all get out. You correct me.
Mm-hmm.
There are no matching terms for men to bitch and hoe. Like, I cannot think of a term I could utilize to make the point about the man I'm trying to make, like to define him in some sort of way. But that has the same sort of bite that bitch and hoe have. You can call a man a nigga. It may not.
It doesn't work on a woman. It's just, it has to come from a white, somebody who's not black.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just when a white person says it, it stings. That's why I guess when a man calls a woman a bitch, it stings.
Yeah. But there's nothing that a woman has back, which I guess in the same way, there's nothing that black people really have back mm-hmm. to call white folks that makes them feel any kind of way, unless you're dealing with somebody who truly doesn't see.
It's just don't even want to deal with racism.
Yeah, prejudice behavior.
They don't like talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, like, there is no parallel. It is, they are terms that degrade,
mm-hmm.
period. But I do think coming from the West Coast, growing up in it, we're a bit desensitized to it. It's a part of our culture.
Porn capital of the world.
Yeah, it's part of our culture. Mm-hmm. This is, I guess, because like sex, just, drugs, rock and roll sell, out here, you see
people
it.
People selling sex. I mean, you see the videos, you know, in the rock and roll band where they got the girls on the top.
Yeah.
The car, and I'm like, look, let's not act like black people are the only people.
Right.
Only black men, you know, just do that to women. Like, come on, like.
Yeah.
And that men do it. It's just by nature, and people get religious about it. It's just the way it's built. But I just think women have the equal amount of power, and some of it can be used in different ways.
Yeah.
It's just there is not going to be an equal of being able to just to sleep around like a dude and it just be, you know, all okay in the eyes of everybody. You got to be okay with it. And you just be like, you know, someone like, oh, you hoeing. If you know they fucking a lot, you just be like, nigga, you hoeing. Fuck, like.
Right.
You know, if a woman calls a man like, I mean, like, you a hoe too. You know, like, bet, like, I'm the one who just fucking around. Oh, you ain't getting no pussy.
Yeah,
I'm the only one having sex around here. Oh, that sucks for you, man.
Yeah,
you missing out. But yeah, it's that scene. I mean, you're like, if you get surrounded by that, how are you not, in a sense, going to talk about these women as just sex? Like, look at me. Don't you want this?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have sex. I'm like, yeah, I distinguish. I think about that all the time. It's just, there's a difference to me with that, with women and just being picky for sex. You know, for a guy, I think, you know, for me especially, I guess, when you're open, when it's just sex, you know, basically your options are more open. You can tolerate more. That's why I feel like women are like, well, why would you leave her? She a bitch. We're like, I don't care. You know, like, if you can tolerate it for like a night, like, I really won't hit you. Like, okay, I don't care. I'm just focused. She looked good enough that I think we can do something in the sack. You're not thinking about how that mouth and all that would affect you for the next 6 months if she's your chick. You're like, I don't want her for all that. And that's how they come off. And of course, you're going to make music like that. You 18, 19. You in the prime of your sex years and girls giving you sex. And you just, I mean, what are you, that's what you're doing.
You rapping about your experience.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Like, you got a job. All right, what else? Like, you dating? Like,
yeah, that's like probably a real strong, hard sex life beginnings because you grown, you out the house.
But
you just grown. You're probably not out the house all the time. Everybody. Look,
I like some of the songs, so I would, you know, if they wanted to play on there, just don't bite it. That song was the shit, and you were just like, what?
Yeah.
And just, I mean, like, that was pretty. I was like. Like NWA stuff in terms of going there, they went there.
Yeah,
people and West who actually Coast, doing it and making like joints out them. Yeah,
LA people, we embraced our music because it represented us. Mm-hmm. Everything from the sort of music that you were hearing, like the actual samples, the bass lines, mm-hmm. everything was.
It was just new. Yeah, it was like, what is
it? It represented us, but so did that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. This summer, I'm bringing in some of our life. This summer, Eli, to me, had like curse word discovery. Mm-hmm. We were very fortunate that he was not a child that repeated things that he heard. We weren't parents that cursed around him a whole lot. We don't believe in that. Chris and I naturally, I think, have curse words in our mm-hmm. vocabulary, but we're not parents that just be cursing all.
No, because I couldn't curse in front of my parents. No, I don't do that. I still don't.
Yeah.
You got to learn when to use it and when you're around your friends.
Exactly. You know. And you have to set the example. Otherwise, you teach your child it's okay to just be cursing all the mm-hmm. time in any given
scenario. Yeah, they're like, well, anyway, you use it. Like, right. I can use it.
Right. But he was hearing words this summer and coming back with it. And it's so funny when I think about it now. It's the LA thing. Not an LA thing. It could just be, it's a childhood thing. You discover language mm-hmm. when you're a kid. And I know a few kids in LA, people I grew up with that didn't curse. My best friend doesn't curse. But it was a heavy part of our music. And to me, a heavy part of just, I don't know, my mm-hmm. LA kid experience.
No, you like cuss words. When you're young, you want to use them. Yeah, great words.
Language is colorful.
How do you feel since it's with NWA and this misogyny, being that they opened the door for a period of hip hop that you don't like with
they got to take
Williams?
Yeah, they got to take that. They might not want to. And the thing is, no matter how much I feel I have rallied against that experience, what I call the black stripper glorification,
mm-hmm.
Just that stereotype of a woman, just the over, call it, look at it how you want, empowered, however you dress it up, that mm-hmm. particular image, it'll never go anywhere. It'll always evolve it's blatant sex mm-hmm. that appeals to men, and male consciousness overall would have to change. And I don't even think that's possible because it's your natural reaction to seeing a naked body.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
The vibe between men and women is there.
Yeah.
You know, you feel it as a young kid anyway. Exactly. When you're just like, what's going on? I'm just feeling this chick. I don't get it. And then, you know, you get old enough and you do it, and then you like, wow, okay.
And maybe
and that door opens, and then, you know, some people don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, because maybe that's just it. On one hand, somebody would look at women in those situations and consider them totally empowered, which goes against the idea that it's a state of degradation in the first place. But to me, that is not going to go anywhere. What Hype Williams brought into fruition. And just mm-hmm. the idea of that. I mean, before there was Hype Williams music videos, there was Playboy and Penthouse. You could mm-hmm. always get an opportunity mm-hmm. to look at naked women. I guess it wasn't so readily available.
It was
all throughout the day.
It was hard. I mean, that
but it
part
was
of
there.
It. It's just balanced to me.
And so if that's not going to change, I don't see where changing the language would have that much power. Like, to me, they would need to work together. If you're going to change the language and we're not calling women this, then we also need to change imagery. But if the language and the imagery at some point, it may not always relate, but you know that there's going to be moments where those two things will relate.
Yeah. I'm just like, are you trying to balance it out or are you trying to eradicate it? Because I'm like, you're not going to do the second.
People sound like they...
I'm like, you're not going to just be like, all right, you know what? We don't want sex anymore. I'm like, first off, do you know what country you live in? You know how much money sex brings in to this country at any... From porn or whatever to sex trafficking, all that, like a $1 trillion industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ain't stopping that because humans want it. It's up to us to control ourselves.
Look, we coming off of Jared from Subway right now. people get caught. You know,
I was like, the mind just be going there. I was like, it's. Sex can just be that creepy.
Yeah.
You know, like, because people just.
And that
people
powerful.
Take. Yeah.
And people that powerful.
I don't think with the strip, it's just because hip hop now is being funneled through the strip club. That's where it got. It's getting broken.
Yeah.
I don't have so much a problem with the whole Atlanta, you know, the Southern scene, period. It's just like all this sounds like it's getting played for a strip club.
And
I don't go to the strip club. Music's cool, but I'm like, it is made for late night alcohol, not giving a fuck. And you just, I mean, you know, if you got songs like Degrading Women talking about how nasty is getting on the floor, do this shit, and you, it's been playing in the background while you looking up, she getting on the floor and doing it, you like, well, I guess he just did saying what it is.
Yeah. A point that you made when we were talking earlier that I would love to bring on the table, because it's related to what you're saying now, is the fact that if women didn't support the music, it would have no success. It wouldn't be a formula for this type of music if every time songs like this dropped, women pushed back and was like, we don't want to hear this.
Yeah, if a song you don't like, you know if they play some shit you don't like, I'm like, that's why a lot of stuff don't get played, because you're like, I don't like this song.
But that's why Ava DuVernay, what she said this week was probably the most poignant, because it's true and it makes it very, very clear. Apparently on Twitter she was giving the film a lot of love. You know, I'm not on Twitter like I should be. But she said something, and I'm trying to pull it up, but it was to the effect of, to be in love with hip hop is to also be in love, or to be in love with rap music is to also be in love with your abuser.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a part of the culture, but that is what it is.
Mm-hmm. They don't talk about it. It's, I think, I just wish they opened the door up for, I just want more balance, because I'm like, whatever kind of hip-hop music you want, you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the little pop rap, they seem to have plenty of that, and they're not going to stop having that. You know, you got the club music, you got your serious music, your thinking. You know, you won't just be... It's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Pick your choosing. There's a lot of good stuff. But look, the movie was what? Bad news.
No, goodness. Ava DuVernay saw it over here.
Oh, okay.
Yep, she saw it on your birthday. She said, last night with friends at the Bowen Hills Crenshaw Plaza in South Central with the beautiful, alive, invested audience. Invested because many of them... Hold on, I'm start all over. She said, I saw Compton movie last night with friends at the Bowen Hills Crenshaw Plaza in South Central with the beautiful, alive, invested audience. Invested because many of them, like me, were there. Teens at the very time and in the very place depicted on screen. It had better be right. She grew up in Compton. And damn, they got it right. Under F. Gary Gray's brilliant direction and Maddie Libatique's gorgeous cinematography, I was transported back. I saw the militarized Batarams again, rolling up our streets like invaders in the war. My friend asked, is that real? Yep, that happened. I saw the cavalier way that women were treated in hip-hop spaces early on. Window dressing at most, disposable at worst. Yep, that happened. I was in the street during the Rodney King uprising after that unjust verdict, feeling anger and community and fire and love. Happened. I remember the truce. So when that shot of red and blue bandanas tied together flashed on screen, wild applause in my theater. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
The music of my youth and how it came to be and why it was what it was. We rapped along, clapped, laughed, cried for all that has happened. at the stifling of our voices as young Black people in that place at that time while the war was going on against us. F. Gary Gray captured it. He captured the plight of the Black artists in general, once consumed by systems and structures not made for them. The struggle is real. To be a woman who loves hip-hop at times is to be in love with your abuser, because the music was and is that, and yet the culture is ours. From depictions of the origins of Ba Felicia to watching Q bring his wife Kim to business meetings, that's hip-hop, a curious thing. But for all the terrific acting, solid production design, swoon-worthy cinematography, and fab costumes plus hair, one sequence brought a tear. I leaned forward in my seat and put my hands on my face and gasped, as did many around me. Someone shouted, "Hell yes, this sequence, Sunday on the Shaw." I can't tell you what it was, what it felt like. You had to be there. F. Gary Gray gets you as close as you'll ever get. Hundreds of Black young people cruising down Crenshaw, the raw energy, the cars, the brothers and sisters, the majesty of it all. A tear. It was maybe a 1 minute sequence in the film, but it all came rushing back. This film did that for me on multiple levels. It's fantastic. Congratulations to F. Gary Gray and all involved. Another classic now under his belt. Your craft and care is on full display. Bravo, brother.
No, I'm thinking as a movie, mm-hmm. It was well done.
Very well done.
I mean, most people complain about topics they didn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not saying nothing about, and the acting, though, that shit was whack. Nobody's saying it. Everybody's like, it was... Actors pulled their weight.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, that one tweet got heavily retweeted, the one to be a woman who loves hip hop at times. And taken out of context, mm-hmm. Like I'm so happy I just read it in context. You know, because even taking it out of context, the fact that she ends it, and yet the culture is ours. It is ours. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we feel a certain response. I think we understand, for some of us, mm-hmm. that there was a certain responsibility you had to have because of it. Mm-hmm. You can't let it get out of hand.
Yeah.
It would be all bad to have little children talking to each other like that. The thing is, they do now. Mm-hmm. They do now. But I would like to believe our generation, the kids that are at this age now, that are having this sort of disrespectful banter back and forth, their parents are older than us. Not trying to blame anybody in their 40s or 50s. I just think our generation, seeing all of this, is going to parent. I think we're all trying to parent differently. Because
mm-hmm.
we understand the richness of the culture, but we do understand how much it has to be protected. And maybe we understand, or we're going to try to understand, how best to disseminate it to our mm-hmm. children so that they take the very best of it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's fun music, and they got their hard parts, and someone you can't hear, but he will.
Yeah,
he on that. Watch me whip.
Watch me name. That is the jam right now. Yeah, apparently,
but he's 7 now. I remember 7. That's why I was like, oh, he gonna start his vocabulary about to shoot. Cause that's when I was around this age.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah. I know the words. I can't use them.
But I know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No, it was a good film. I just, like, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, but I'm like, is they movie? It's like, would you want him to show himself in, like, a shitty-ass light? No, I'm not surprised.
No, me either.
Mm-hmm. He's just like, oh. I just don't do them like Michael Vick. I know it's just everything like in the Ray Rice era and sensitivity of the NFL. It's the new NFL, all of that. You can't, you know, violence against women is just, you probably gonna pay for it.
Yeah.
Like before it was like, all right, it's just getting out there.
Yeah.
You're like, damn.
Yeah.
It's gonna be zero tolerance. Which I think is why this is all hypersensitive. You yeah. know, women kind of standing up, like, gonna be heard. You know, both men and women have different forms of power and can wield it different ways. And just because a woman may not physically be able to overpower a man doesn't mean she can't overpower him in some way.
Yeah, and sex is one of those ways.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, what? Yeah, women use it. Men use it. We just have a built-in excuse of, but I'm a man.
And the thing is, those scenes do depict that. And honestly, it helps me come full circle in moments when I really want to be judgmental, just because that's how I was brought up. That's not how you do. But when you are a woman, a grown woman, I guess, especially depending on what life experiences you've had or when you've had them, let me say that. By a certain age, I would imagine everybody has had the experience where you knew your sexual prowess as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you begin to understand how it works and what works and understand another person. And so, you know that there's moments of it that are empowering. And there's a way to, you know, for some women, they take it all the way to the max.
Mm-hmm. Pimp it.
Pimp in. All right, y'all. This was just a quick, this is what Chris and I are talking about right now. I think it might be worth it, definitely, to get everybody back around and see how they feel now about it.
Yeah.
I think we're all, I mean, as far as a film, we all love it. It's just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people who go see it, they say see it again. Like, it's good.
Yeah, I would definitely see it again. Mm-hmm. I would definitely see it again. It's been a long time since I've seen the movie that I would want to actually go to the theater and see twice. Mm-hmm.
You're right, like, who's next?
Yeah.
I'm claiming Run DMC is the next one. And I think the only ones you can actually do it on this level.
Mm-hmm.
Just because NWA had the government on them. But I think, you know, Run DMC mixing with Rock and then whole Adidas.
Yeah.
Really being early for him, I could be that.
Hip Hop Digest had a good selection of people. Who were they saying? They say Bobito? Well,
they were picking, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just think for... I think all good films can be made, like the Tribe Called Quest one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to get something like Straight Outta Compton, like filter and all that time and effort, it'd have to be somebody huge.
Yeah.
And truth be told, whenever they do a Pac one, it ain't going to be good. It ain't going to do it justice. You know, like, just don't do it. Like you can't do a movie good enough. To do Pac. It just feel like whatever you, we don't, cause somebody, whatever you say, we gonna be like, oh, no, just how we did with Wood.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you thought that went down. He's like, there's some people like Tupac a lot. He just chilling.
Like, right. Yeah. I would just leave Pac alone. Pac is best left to the documentary.
That's the best you're going to get. Yeah. The documentary, because you want to hear his
You know support. Why, too? Because with Pac, you're focusing on a central figure.
You can't interview him now. You might as well just get the old.
No. Just let's leave Pac alone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all.
Later.
Peace.
You want lobster? Huh? I'm thinking Burger King. And when I take you, you get frustrated. You can't juice Ice Cube and you hate it. But you see, I don't.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.
Give you money, why bother? Cause you know I'm looking nothing like your father. Girl, I can't be played a gank. Gank means getting took for your bank or your gold or your money or something. 9 times out of 10, she's giving up nothing. They get mad when I put it in perspective. But let's see if my knowledge is effective. To the brothers, man, they ride.